Welcome to the Cross Conference Women's World Cup Daily Recap for July 6th, 2011. We talked about Canada's struggles yesterday, and today we turn our attention to the USA, who returned to the struggling form of earlier this year with their 2-1 loss against Sweden to close out Group C. My guest today is Jenna Pell, founding editor of AllWhiteKit.com and FoxSoccer.com contributor. Hi, this is Joan, and we are back with a sad addition to the Women's World Cup Daily Update. It is the 6th of July, and my guest today, this is not the sad part, we'll get to the sad part. My guest today, I am pleased to have her on, is Jenna Pell from AllWhiteKit.com, and who is also a contributor to FoxSoccer.com. Jenna, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. We've been meaning to have you on for a while.
I just had to wait until the U.S. lost. Before I can finally get in touch with you. It was all part of the plan, don't worry.
Yeah. So that's the big news from today. Who cares about the other games? U.S. losing 2-1 to Sweden. The good thing is we know why it happened. We don't have to wonder what happened, I guess. So what your take on the game, your overall impression of that game? I know it's still fresh, but...
You know, I kind of have mixed feelings about it because I guess I'm somewhat taken aback by how surprised people seem to it. And maybe, in a sense, I am kind of, you know, I guess I have a part to play in that as well, because it seemed like the U.S. had so much momentum after the Colombia game, especially after the second half of the North Korea game. And they were just having so much fun. It looked like they were enjoying themselves so much. And Pearson and Hagen's lineup changes were working and they're paying immediate dividends. And then you go into this game and it's all the stuff we've seen in the past year or, you know, 12 to 15 months have all come back with a vengeance. And it was ultimately the downfall of the U.S. team. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, Tony DiCicco said in his post-match comments that he was, you know, he mentioned something about the inconsistency of this team, which is obviously a good point. Now, it's kind of ironic that he's talking about inconsistent teams and, like, you know, and like a very kind of like lambasting that, considering the Boston Breakers' current state. But regardless, you know, it's just kind of hard to gauge where this team is in terms of its consistency. I mean, what is the real U.S. team? You know, is it the team that came out against North Korea and completely changed the complexion of that game and started maintaining possession and starting using the wings a little bit more effectively? Or is it this? I mean, was it the U.S. team in this first half? You know, and I mean, the answer probably lies between those two polar opposites, which is a little bit disconcerting when you go into a game against Brazil. Now, fortunately, Brazil isn't known for its pace or its flair on the ball. Sarcasm. But, you know, and that is going to be a huge troubling issue for the team going into that game. I mean, you know, you saw it today. The back four completely struggled with the pace of Sweden, and they just had no answers for it whatsoever. And the thing is that once they started getting hit with that first sense of pressure, they just completely lost their confidence, and that was it. You know, I mean, they couldn't recover after that whatsoever. And it took the halftime whistle for them to finally collect themselves and calm down a little bit. But when you play a team like Brazil, you don't really have that, you know, that luxury of having any, you know, downtime to collect yourselves. So it's, I don't know. I would much rather face Australia than Brazil in the quarterfinals. I mean, that's not, you know, that's a fairly obvious statement, but I can't say I was expecting this task for the U.S. team.
Yeah, absolutely. I was, frankly, the only thing that really, I mean, the thing that really, really shocked me was that pace and just how stark the difference was. I was like, are Sweden really that much faster than us? Like, I know we don't have the youngest, most spry defenders, but what, how are they getting, you know, just like leagues ahead of every defender on,
yeah, they
you know,
were every ahead time. Of us. And it was so bizarre because, like, when you say that and, you know, you think back to the Sweden games last July, and in the first game, Sweden came out with a 1-1 draw and the U.S. played quite poorly. But it wasn't because Sweden were particularly quick in their front three or their front two. It's because they had Caroline Sager and she just completely shut down the midfield. And, you know, the U.S.'s midfield partnership couldn't come up with any answers to that. But it wasn't because of their, you know, blistering pace like we saw today. And now, and you know what, I really think that Pia Sunaga and the rest of the team were also quite surprised by that. I'm not sure if they were really expecting that kind of pace from the outset. Now, obviously, Sweden did their homework. I mean, they really killed, tormented, whatever word you want to say, Amy LaTalbot and Rachel Buehler and their lack of pace. And boy, I mean, if there was ever any question about Amy LaTalbot being a liability at left back, I mean, let this be your, you know, mm-hmm. let this be affirmation to that, because it was, she just had a rough, you know, a really, really rough game. I mean, the whole, you know, own goal notwithstanding, it was just a very poor defensive performance from our friend Amy LaTalbot out there.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I think the two goals were not exactly a result of her position so much as her decisions. I mean, the second goal, that's a rough break. That's very really, really unlucky. And for me, it kind of hurt to see that Hope Solo had pretty much done everything right. There was nothing mm-hmm. she could do about those goals. She made every right decision, and
she had that big save in like the first, you know, like six minutes or something, and then after that, it mm-hmm. seemed like the U.S. would get out of this at least with a draw, because Hope Solo was clearly in her element. And you're right; I mean, she cannot be at fault for those two goals. You know, the penalty, and then the surprise, the deflection. Obviously, I mean, she just, you know, it was not a Hope Solo error that result in those two goals. It was just completely the defense and their just inability to, I don't know, to step up and meet the challenge that Sweden was presenting to them.
Yeah, and strangely, in the second half, Sweden obviously didn't need to press anymore for more goals because the U.S. wasn't mm-hmm. being that effective on the attack. But, you know, the first half, they were just devouring the right side. And then the second half, they just pretended that the right side of the field did not exist, almost.
Right.
Because, I mean, that switch to Stephanie Koch, they didn't even test her. Mm-hmm. So, it you know, there's not too much you can say about, you know, how Stephanie Koch did defensively. Now, her service was so much better, and everybody knows that her attacking service is much better, because she is that, not naturally left-footed, but naturally that attacking back. Now, in 2007, she got burned pretty bad. So I don't know. Does she start against Brazil?
Honestly, I really don't think that Stephanie Koch is a major step up from Amy LaTalbot. You know, I think Amy LaTalbot is just an all-out better defender than Stephanie Koch. But, I mean, then again, I guess I'm saying that in terms of being an actual defender, not being a left back or an outside back. You know, I mean, Amy LaTalbot clearly does not have pace. She just doesn't have the ability to turn and cut and run to cover your marker. I mean, she just hasn't shown that in her game whatsoever. Now, can Stephanie Koch step in and do that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Stephanie Koch played, it sounds awful, but I can't even think of a game where, you know, Stephanie Koch has really stepped up and impressed. Can you?
Unfortunately, not in recent years. I don't know what it is about her game that has dropped off. Like, she's not that old. You know,
right.
It shouldn't have...
Yeah, she was in the 2007 World Cup, and she was the youngest player in that squad. So, and I think she was only like 21, right?
I think Amy Rodriguez was a little bit younger, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I like her starting a little bit more sometimes, but you know, who can say? You know, before we were questioning Sunhag's decisions, then we're like, no, we should not ever question her again. She's brilliant. Now we're like going back to,
what's going on?
So,
Alex
Morgan got inserted at halftime for Amy Rodriguez. I feel that this was not necessarily the right decision. Amy Rodriguez mm-hmm. has been getting a bad rap in this World Cup. For good reason.
But this game, she did not deserve any criticism. Well, she didn't deserve, you know, a load of criticism, because she wasn't that bad. I mean, her movement looked really good, and she combined fairly well with Abby Wambach up top. You know, she wasn't exactly like the central striker. She kind of played off Abby Wambach in the center of the box more, and it worked. You know, I mean, it wasn't completely effective, because again, she had her vintage A-Rod moments, like that shot that. It was well executed. It just kind of, you know, found itself on top of the goal. But I agree. I don't see Sunhaga's reasoning in taking A-Rod off at that moment and inserting Alex Morgan. You know, when you have other players from that first half who clearly, you know, who look to be in more need of getting subbed off.
Right. And if you're going to make a change up like that, why not I don't know, push Lauren Cheney forward since she was getting all those shots, you know, put in, a Kelly O'Hara or Alex Morgan in the midfield, you know, switch her and Rapinoe up. I didn't quite get that decision. Mm-hmm. So we've seen Brazil start a little bit slowly. And then as soon as they get that one goal, it's like a shark smelling blood and they'll just mm-hmm. get a couple more. What do you think the U.S. needs to do to win against Brazil?
They have to press that three-back system, that three-back defense, for sure. Because their system, Brazil's system is so bizarre. I mean, today was different because they had Aileen and Diane switch places. Diana usually was the sweeper, the central fixture in that three-back system, and Alina was outside. But they changed that up today a little bit. And I can't say it was completely effective still. I mean, it's just a very strange system in which you know, it seems like the team depends so much on the defensive qualities of its wing backs, like its outside midfielders almost, but they're not really even outside midfielders because they're asked to track back so much. And then when Brazil presses, they're asked to go forward and possess and support Marta and Cristiani in the attack as well. So it's just a very strange, well, you know, it's a very unorthodox system. Now, if the U.S. can get behind that three-back defense, like has been proven is possible against the likes of Australia and Norway, then maybe, you know, maybe there's some hope there. I mean, you know, I think Lauren Cheney and Shannon Box, if she plays, will be, you know, they need to harry that defense significantly. And if they do that and the defense is caught on the back foot, then, you know, and the U.S. gets an early goal, or any goal, in fact, then, you know, the chances will be a lot higher for the U.S. But if not, and if the U.S. is, conversely, is caught on the back foot from the outset with an early goal from Marta or anybody else on that team, I don't know how the team is going to react. You know, I don't know. I'm not exactly filled with lots of confidence at this juncture.
Right. Well, they've proved us wrong in the previous two games, so maybe they can bring our hope back. No pun intended.
again,
in this quarterfinal. Now, for me, if I see Carly Lloyd get woman of the match, I will blow a gasket.
Well, you know that U.S. soccer picks that, right? Apparently,
yeah.
Whenever the U.S. plays, U.S. soccer has an ear, which has FIFA's ear somehow. And
it's not a FIFA decision. I think it's just U.S. soccer, woman of the match.
For the FIFA match reports and stuff, Carly Lloyd has been woman of the match, she was against Colombia, which was weird.
Yeah.
And she wasn't against North Korea, but we'll see who's woman of the match in FIFA's match report tonight.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if I couldn't stand. She dribbled into traffic so many times. It's like it's clear that that's not working for you, honey. Like, just get rid of the ball. Just give it to somebody else.
And then if she doesn't do that, if she gets rid of the ball, she makes an inaccurate pass and it falls to a defender's feet. So, you know,
yeah,
with her, it's
a decision between Box and Lloyd, really. Mm-hmm. Who are you keeping in that partnership?
You know, you have to tailor your formation around Brazil and what they bring. And Brazil is not Colombia, right? Like, Brazil isn't going to pressure. Colombia is not going to pressure from the midfield as much as Brazil is going to when you have Marta and Cristiani at the fulcrum of your attack. So that kind of eliminates Lori Lindsay a little bit because I really think that Sunhaga made that decision because she knew that the team didn't need immense defensive pressure in that midfield against Colombia. But Brazil is a completely different, you know, animal entirely, right? So, you know, I don't like any of the options. I mean, I really don't like, you know, I mean, we can't pick Leslie Osborne, you know. I don't want to say we have to keep Box and Lloyd there, but I don't like any of the alternatives either. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe you give Lindsay a run out for Box and see what happens and then wait for halftime and kind of assess the situation at that point. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, Box does have, Box is clearly past her prime. I mean, there's no question about that. And she also, she just looks kind of out of, you know, she looks short of match fitness a little bit as well. but she did add something in the second half today against Sweden. I mean, she did kind of help solidify the midfield a little bit more than she had in the first half, and that was a small improvement. Now, can she do that against Brazil? I'm not sure, but can Lori Lindy do it against Brazil? I don't know. I don't think the chances are that high. So I have to stick the box in Lori. I hate saying it, but I don't know. I know you can't, you know, change everything up again for against Brazil. So I'm going to end up regretting that so much after the game plays. But.
Well, no, because I was thinking, like, I agree with you, and I hate it too. So, like, I don't hate it. It makes me feel bad.
We had to make peace with it, though.
Right. So, gosh, I don't know what to even think, because the U.S. has so much to think about. Hopefully, Heather O'Reilly. They definitely missed Heather O'Reilly this game.
Yeah, they did.
And I don't know. There's something about Heather O'Reilly. When I see her, I think she's not going to let us lose to Brazil again. I hope. And like her and Hope Solo, I feel like, you know, those are two players
in particular, right?
Yeah, are like, they're not going to let us lose to Brazil again. They're not going to let that happen. I don't know. You know, who knows? I've been wrong in the past, and this midfield is just tragically mentally fragile. I wish. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the experience she has and her age, she should be the mommy, but that just hasn't happened. And I think Lloyd just distances herself too much. So she doesn't really have control, I think, the way someone needs to assert control. And I think that's probably Heather O'Reilly as much as she can from the right wing.
Right.
So,
well, if she had a boss as a mom, she's kind of been an estranged mom, hasn't she? I mean, she kind of shows up intermittently. I mean, she's not there consistently, and she's clearly she's just past it. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely see what you're saying and thinking that Heather O'Reilly kind of needs to put her foot down and impose some authority in that midfield against Brazil. And maybe she will. I mean, she's capable of some great things. So hopefully her leadership qualities can also rub off on the rest of the midfield.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Sweden and Australia, who do you favor in that game? Australia looking very prepared against all its opponents so far, mostly. But we just saw Sweden go from being mostly lackluster to just, you know, blistering in this mm-hmm. game. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
You know, if Sweden plays like the way they did today with Caroline Sager in that midfield as well, and with Mia Fischer, you know, just completely marshalling that central midfield, Australia is going to have a major problem, especially if Tom Somani chooses to go with his 4-3-3, which he did against Equatorial Guinea, to great effect, you know. You know, there's just going to be that numerical disadvantage in midfield, which Somani has to be mindful of. But the thing with him is that he knows his opponents so well, and he's proven that game after game after game, in the sense that he's changed his lineup constantly, always with his opponent in mind, and he's changed his tactical system in mind. So I don't think anybody's been watching this game, this U.S. winning game, with a closer eye than Tom Sormani. You know, if anybody's going to scout this team well, it's going to be Tom Sormani. So I kind of have to put my faith in him, and I also had to put my faith behind Lisa Devanna, which was a scary thought. Lisa Devanna and Australia's really deep front line. So, you know, I love the steel that Australia has shown throughout this World Cup. I love their youth. I love the reckless, you know, like the inhibition of the youth entirely. That's been a great sign to see. So Australia's going to get it done. I can see something happening maybe in, like, the second half, and Australia will turn the tide if the chips are down in the beginning. But, yeah, I see Australia going through.
Rad. I like it. I like it. That would be very fun to see. Well, Jenna, thank you so much for joining me on this show.
Thanks, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I hope we get to have you on again soon. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the World Cup.
Thank you. If the U.S. moves to Brazil, you should get me on your speed dial.
Oh gosh, yeah, that I don't even want to think about that. No, it just hurts too much. Well,
yeah.
Everybody, you can find Jenna's work on the incredible site allwhitequitkit.com, if I could say it right. And she's also a contributor to foxsoccer.com. And Jenna, we'll see you again, hopefully.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.